Welcome to Saanich Baptist Church. Here we believe that we are
Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the month of October, and coming up first up is
Welcome to Pre-Service Chat. This is an interesting Sunday because it is our first Sunday without Steve Sunby as our lead pastor. And we just wanted to chat for a few minutes about what the future holds for SBC, what we're looking forward to, and also talk about those things that are giving us hope and giving us peace during a season of transition.
You know, as we've been talking, obviously, there's lots of unknowns. Like, just we don't know. 32 years he was here and loved having him and you know, so happy for what God's going to be doing in his life as we move forward. But what does that mean for us as a church? Well, but there are some things that we still know 100% for sure, right?
Yeah, and I think first and foremost, it's always good to remind ourselves that this is Jesus' church.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can get distracted sometimes when you have a leader for 32 years, that like, this is Steve's church. No, it was never Steve's church. It's not ever going to even be the next lead pastor's church. This is Jesus' church.
And Steve made that clear all the time.
Yeah.
and as we just had his celebration, that was one of the things he didn't want it to be about. I didn't want it to be all about me. And we were like, get over that. We need to celebrate you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, the Jesus Church will continue.
Yeah.
And we are excited to be a part of that. We are excited. We've been throwing around this idea of partnering with you. We're excited to partner with you. Let's just talk a little bit about what some of those things, what that means, I guess, kind of as we roll forward.
Yeah. If you've been in our sanctuaries, you know that above the doors as you exit, it says that the church is leaving the building.
Yeah.
And we really believe that the church is the people.
Yeah.
So, this is a season where the church, we already see it happening, but there's just opportunity for the church to really be the church, for each member to share their gifts, to add to the health of the body. And as we're kind of discovering, who is SBC? You know, we have a vision that we've had for a number of years, but like, what does it really mean to live 6-8, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly? And what does that look like with the people that are attending SBC right now?
Yeah. And I think one of the cool things is, too, is that we are still, of course, hearing God work, hearing stories, you know, seeing him work. You were talking earlier about youth ministry, for example.
Yeah, we just launched, what is it, 3 weeks that we've had youth ministry now. We have an incredible team. Like every week, I'm just amazed more and more at like the people that God has brought into youth ministry.
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, we have teams of people that are serving at our market at our Centennial Park campus.
Yeah.
We have a team that's constantly growing in children's ministry.
Yeah.
We have micro churches scattered all around the city that on different days of the week are gathering to encourage, equip one another, but also then go out and serve the city.
Yeah. That was cool. I'm going to cut you off there.
Yeah.
We just met with some of the leaders just recently. And, you know, we talk about how it, within this vision and, of the church is that we have our weekly gatherings together where we come together and we learn together and we worship together. And that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some community there for sure, some small C. But then we've got this expression called microchurch where we are, as you said, finding expressions of the church throughout the greater Victoria area. And man, this past week, I mean, we've been talking about this for a year and a half, but it really hit me just how powerful it is because we come together and we're unified for sure. And we're kind of all together. And there's this cool thing, dynamic that takes place as God is present with us. But then when we scatter, we now have all of these very unique, and I mean very unique, ways that people are being the church together and then doing mission and ministry in their specific areas in ways that we truly can't as a collective body.
Totally.
It has to be this scat, and it's such a powerful, cool thing. Yeah, it was really great.
Yeah.
Sorry for cutting you off.
No, but then, we still have that Sunday expression where we come together, and I just, over the last few weeks, just that sense of celebration as we come and we worship our God together, that's been really encouraging as well.
Yeah, and you know, for some of you, I know you're still sitting at home literally watching us. And you're kind of wondering, we'd love to have you come back and join us. We also understand some of the hesitancy, and that's okay. We're thrilled. Kim's team, Matt, man, the whole team just do an amazing job putting on the live stream. And we're thrilled to be able to continue to offer that as well. Yeah. For those of you, when you're comfortable, come on back. But in the meantime, that ministry opportunity is for you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're excited just to see how God is going to be continuing to work. Yeah. We can't predict his movement, but we can partner with him in that. We're excited that in, what is it, a couple weeks, 16th of October, we're going to be having a baptism Sunday. We know that every person is being, God is wanting to work in your lives. And so that means we're going to see transformation. We're going to see people take next steps. Yeah. And that's not stopping in this season of transition.
No, not at all. You know, we sat as a staff and we realized the staff is not the church. But you have blessed us uniquely. It's a crazy thing, hey, that you've invited us into your world and you've given us the opportunity to bring leadership to you. And so I guess actually right now, I just like to say thank you for that. We as a staff don't take that for granted. We appreciate the opportunity. But one of the things we talked about is that we didn't want to just view this next season as us just sort of putting our finger in the holes in the dike or just trying to hold things together, that we really believe in this season that we haven't been in for a long time as a church. That God wants to move, and God wants to, and we're expecting that, and so we're looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christina, thank you for stepping up as the board reached out to you. I'm grateful for that opportunity. We are grateful for you. If you want to hear more about this kind of stuff, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can hit us up at office@sandwichbaptist.org. You can give us a phone call, crazy idea, here at the office. But we obviously would just love to talk to you and see how we might be able to partner as we move forward into this new unknown.
Awesome.
God bless you. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to Sandwich Baptist Church. Here we believe that we are called to share Christ's love in both word and deed. And we do that through a thing called Living 6:8. Living 6:8 comes from the verse Micah 6:8, which tells us all about what God thinks is good and what he requires from us. So first, to act justly. We believe that we need to speak up for and be a part of bringing justice for the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized in Victoria and around the world. We believe that the voiceless need a voice and that we can partner with God in bringing justice to Victoria and beyond. To love mercy, not only do we need to speak up, but we are called to serve and love the people that God has brought into our context. It is our belief that regardless of your age, your gender, your sexuality, your race, how you speak or where you come from, that you are deeply loved by God and that we as a church need to be a part of sharing that love. And finally, to walk humbly. We believe that to walk humbly means to desire Jesus every single day, to recognize him as Lord and King, and then to live in obedience to him, recognizing all that he has done for us and sharing that good news to those around us. So that's who we are. And our Sunday services, well, this is the time when we come and celebrate. We come together and worship our God. We hear from him and his word, and then we respond in obedience. And then, well, then we go out and live as the church. 7 days a week, we are the church, a community of people that are seeking God and his mission of transforming lives and changing this city. So welcome. We're so glad that you have joined us. Let's discover how we can live 6:8 together.
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. To walk humbly with your God.
Well, welcome to your announcements. We've got a lot of stuff going on in the month of October. And coming up, first up is Thanksgiving, which is happening next weekend. So on the Sunday, what do we got going on?
Yeah, it's our tradition here at SBC to give away a third of our offering on Thanksgiving Sunday to a local organization that's just doing good stuff here in Victoria. And this year we are going to be supporting an organization called Broken Ministries. Mm-hmm. And what they do is head downtown and serve a bunch of barbecues throughout the week. And actually my microchurch partners with this organization every Sunday. So stay tuned on our social media accounts. Next Sunday we'll have more information just highlighting this awesome organization. But yeah, next week, a third of all our offering just on the Sunday is going to be going to Broken Ministries.
Yeah, it's always a cool experience where we can support those people that are out there in our community doing some good work. So you're not going to want to miss out on that. And then if you are a newcomer, if you've just started coming to SBC and you're interested in what's going on, how do I get connected? We've got an event for you.
Yes. The following Thursday, October 13th at 7 o'clock p.m. at our Wilkinson Road campus, we are going to be having some homemade pie made just for you if you are new.
Homemade, not even store-bought?
No. Homemade pie.
Nice.
Because we want to get to know you. We want to see if you can get connected into the life and body of the Saanich Baptist, tell a little bit of our history and our vision for the future. So come on out. Thursday, October 13th, 7 o'clock p.m. You can head to our website to register for that.
Mmm, pie. That sounds delicious. And for those who are interested in getting baptized, we already have a few people that are interested. And so the next Sunday, we're going to be doing a baptism Sunday.
Yes, Sunday the 16th, we are going to be celebrating people taking their next step. So if you've been considering baptism, now is the time. We would love to talk to you about that. So reach out to office@saanichbaptist.org and one of our ministry directors would love to connect with you.
You betcha. And finally, we've got a family event coming up at the end of the month, but we need something first.
Yeah, we're excited to be able to kind of gather together as families and have some fun together. So Saturday, October 29th, we're going to be doing life-size Monopoly. But we need volunteers for that. So if you would like to participate that, whether you are part of a young family or you just love to support families, this is for you. So Shiloh would love to connect with you. You can reach out to her through office@saanichbaptist.org.
And if you didn't catch that, for almost anything, if you have any questions about anything we said, or if you want to get more information on any of the events going on, email us at office@saanichbaptist.org or hit up the website. It's a great place to get all the information you need. I think that's all that we've got for you, so have a great week, guys.
Well, happy October, and wow, that was a lot of announcements, but we've got a lot of stuff going on in October, so we're happy that you've joined us today as we gather to worship. And normally this is where I would be like, stand with me as we sing, but just hold your horses. We're going to read some scripture first, and so it's a little bit longer, so I'm going to invite you to stay seated, but this is just Psalm 145, and I was looking at the psalm trying to pick a portion for our call to worship, and I was just like, oh man, I want to do this part, but I also want to do this part, but I want to do this part is really good, and the whole psalm is just really great, and so we're going to read the whole thing, so you guys could sit tight for 20-some verses, but yeah, this is Psalm 145 as we begin to worship. It says this: I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. For the Lord is merciful and compassionate. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell about your mighty deeds and about the majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, your rule throughout all generations. The Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope, for you give them food as they need it. And when you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth. He is slow to get angry, and he is filled with unfailing love. He grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and rescues them. The Lord protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. I will praise the Lord, and may everyone on earth bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. So let's do that. I invite you to stand if you are able as we begin to sing. But I love in that psalm how David goes back and forth from I will praise you to like everyone will praise you. And that's such a picture of corporate worship because we're all here. We are all our own individual people. And yet together we lift up our voices to praise our God. So let's do that as we sing. Our God is the lion and the lamb. Who can stop him? Yeah, let's put our hands together. Thank you. great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken.
Yeah.
teach you a song. It's called Banner. And in a few moments, Leah and Jeremy Cron are going to be coming up to share with us a little bit about their ministry that they have been doing in Africa. And it just was striking me as I was preparing for this service how each of us goes out into the world with a banner that we carry. And this song just declares that we will carry Jesus' banner. So not any other banner, not a banner of our work or our job or our identity even, but we carry the banner of Christ with us wherever we go. And so the chorus just goes like this. We'll sing it a couple times so you can get the hang of it, and then we'll sing the full song, and I think you'll catch on pretty quick. It's pretty simple. There's only one. There's only one who is worthy, who overcomes, who will never fail. Light of the world, everlasting, Jesus, you are Lord of all. Let's sing that one more time. There's only one. There's only one who is worthy, who overcomes, who will never fail. Light of the world, everlasting, Jesus, you are Lord of all. Lord, you are greatly to be praised. Jesus, your name be the banner over us. Oh, great in mercy, great in power, Christ forever, what a Savior. Jesus, your name be the banner. Our prayer. We know that you have called us to the specific places where you have placed us, whether that's in our schools or in workplaces, whether that's in our family context. But God, we pray that there would be no other. Christ be the only banner that we go out under. We are your ambassadors. May everything that we do proclaim Christ as Lord. Yeah, we give you praise and we worship you. We pray this in your name. Amen. You may take a seat. And kids, it has been awesome worshiping with you, but I know that you guys are way more excited to head to the back and hang out with Shyla and your leaders upstairs as you guys do church up there. And that's cool. We're glad that you're excited. The rest of us, we're going to take a moment and just read through a prayer together. Got too many things in my hands today, huh? So this is actually a litany for ordination. And so normally this would be read when a pastor or a priest is being ordinated into the priesthood or the pastorhood. But I think it's real. I was reading through this and I was just like, this is very interesting because I feel like any of us could read this and be ordained into ministry in our own contexts, which is kind of the theme of today that we're going with. So just before the crons come, I invite you to pray this prayer for ourselves and for each other. So it begins like this. For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all members of your church, in their vocation and ministry, that we may carry your banner well, serving you in a true and godly life, we pray to you, O Lord. For us, the staff of SBC, that we may be filled with Christ's love and may hunger for truth and thirst after righteousness, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the mission of the church, that in faithful witness it may preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who do not yet believe, and for those who have lost their faith, that they may receive the light of the gospel, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the peace of the world, that a spirit of respect and forbearance may grow among nations and people, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in positions of public trust, especially as we approach municipal elections, that those elected may serve justice and promote the dignity and freedom of every person. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a blessing upon all human labor and for the right use of the riches of creation, that the world may be freed from poverty, famine, and disaster, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the poor, the persecuted, the sick, and all who suffer, for refugees, prisoners, and all who are in danger, that they may be relieved and protected, we pray to you, O Lord. for ourselves, for the forgiveness of our sins, and for the grace of the Holy Spirit to amend our lives. We pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Amen. Well, I would love to invite, Jeremy and Leah Cron up to the front. For those of you who don't know Jeremy and Leah, they have been missionaries for 12 years with AIM, which is Africa Inland Missions. Mission. There we go. We have supported them as a church, and so we periodically hear a little bit about what you guys do and what you guys have been up to, but we just wanted to have you guys here to share a little bit about, what you guys have been doing in the past, and now you guys are here settling back in Victoria long term, and so we'd love to hear a little bit about what that has been looking like for you guys too. So I'll hand it off to you guys. Go for it.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Kim. So we are Jeremy and Leah Cron. And we've been part of Saanich Baptist here since 2001, but you may not recognize us. We have been gone for about 12 years. In 2010, we moved to Tanzania, East Africa, as missionaries. Our kids were quite a bit smaller. They were about this size and running around. Ryan, our oldest, is 8, and now he towers above us. Paul was 6, and he's taller than I am as well. Marie, she was 3, and she looks me right in the eye now. So they were much smaller. We went to a small village in northern coastal Tanzania, and if you've got a mental map, it's right on the Indian Ocean there. We weren't right on the beach. And we were going to participate in community development as a way of proclaiming Christ through our actions. When we first arrived in Tanzania, we were introduced to 12 values of the training program, one of the training programs. We don't have time to go into depth of each of the 12. I'm sure you all have lunch plans, but we're going to try and highlight a few of them. Over time, we embraced these values and they really became part of us. They came to shape not only how we do ministry, but also who we are. We'd like to share them with you through a few stories, not only as a way of getting to know us, but what we've been involved in over the last 12 years. And we think they're relevant in any context where people follow Christ. So we hope that you'll be able to pick up a few bits and pieces and be able to apply them to your own life. And just as a quick heads up, and I'm going to read through a few of these, they're reaching the lost with the saving news of Jesus Christ, commitment to the local language and culture, relationships, lifestyle and proclamation, evangelism, learner attitudes, teamship, prayer as ministry, ministry flowing out of being, and a high view of the local church. So these all flow out from the first value, which is reaching the lost with the saving news of Jesus Christ. Now, AIM has a long history of working in areas where Jesus Christ is not known. People might know the name, they might know a little bit of about him through their own stories, be it the Muslim hadith or rumors or a swear word. But the reason for this lack of knowledge might be geographic, it might be cultural, or it might be political, or some of the above. The reality is that those remaining are living in places in Africa that are difficult to get to or are a very challenging environment to live in. Now, historically, the mission has been mainly involved with people that follow traditional African religions. But over the last decades, there has been a shift to reaching out and engaging largely Muslim peoples, which have a very significant presence in the African continent. Over the course of missions history, there have been swings both ways between proclamation, so you just preach the word, to the exclusion of acts of mercy and compassion. And then the other side as well, where it's just been focusing on actions, showing mercy, showing compassion, but not preaching the good news. And they leave out the proclamation. But Jesus told us to go into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples. And James, the brother of Jesus, and one of the leaders in the early church, he wrote, "My brothers and sisters, what good is it if people say they have faith but do nothing to show it? Claiming to have faith can't save anyone, can it? Imagine a brother or sister who is naked and never has enough food to eat. What if one of you say, 'Go in peace, stay warm, have a nice meal'? What good is it if you don't actually give them what their body needs? In the same way, faith is dead when it doesn't result in faithful activity." That comes from the book of James, chapter 2. So we need both proclamation and acts of compassion. We're trying to make the whole of the good news, bring the whole of the good news to the whole of the person. And this requires us to live within the community. And to do that, we need the second value.
Yeah, one of the things we learned early on is that, you know, people talk people talk about, proclaim the gospel in everything you do, and if necessary, use words. Well, guess what? It really is necessary to use words. So we always had a commitment, and AIM has a commitment to local language and culture. And when we first moved to Tanzania, I was resistant to this. I thought, you know what? I'm going to learn the trade language. I will learn Swahili. Everybody in Tanzania knows how to speak Swahili. And my team said, no, you got to learn the tribal language. That's what we're doing. You're going to learn the tribal language. You'll pick up Swahili later. So, you know, being obedient, but somewhat disgruntled, I carried on with learning Chidigo. Over time, one story that kind of illustrates the importance of this is I had taken a young lady who was having a hard time giving birth to the nearest hospital. She had labored in our village, and it was clear there were problems. So, I brought her into the hospital, and her grandfather went with me. And so we were in a little hotel-y, a restaurant thing, having a cup of tea while we were waiting for all of this, and we were speaking Chidigo to each other, because that's the language that we could speak in. And the waitress came up and she said, "How is it that a white person knows Chidigo?" And he looked at her and he said, "She's my daughter. What other language would she speak?" Right? So learning local language, heart language, makes us belongers. And language and culture, wherever you are, is important.
Another value is the value of relationships. It's written down in one of the programs. It's relationships, relationships, relationships. And some people think that's a little redundant. But it also points to the relationships we have with God, the relationships we have with others, and the relationship we have with ourselves. In Tanzania, we saw that there is not the same level of government assistance that we enjoy in this country. If you are going to the hospital, you have to come prepared. You have to have somebody there that's going to take care of you. If you need to go to the bathroom, you need to have somebody that's going to assist you. If you are going to need any containers for... And to pay your bills, yeah. Somebody has to go pay the bill every time, be it a government hospital or private. But one of the biggest questions people face is, who is going to bury me when I die? That is, especially amongst the Muslim people groups, that's the biggest questions that they face. If they are changing religions, they fear losing their entire community. And that is the consequence of changing religions. So they fear losing their community and their social support. School bills are paid by the entire extended family, not just mom and dad. So the real threat in Muslim communities is that people will drop them. And so they have to consider this as a cost of following Jesus. So what does that mean for us as a church, as a community? It means that the church needs to be not just a Christian community, or it must be a community. It's not just a group of believers that are individual, it is an entire community. And the community is going to be there when people are sick, when they're in need, when they feel alone, and when they die and need to be buried. There was, in our first village, a guy that lived off in the bush. I really never met him until I heard that he died. And then I asked, okay, so when's the funeral? And there was nothing planned. He was a Catholic. He was not part of their community. I thought, well, the community isn't even going to bury him. I reached out to our national pastor, and we arranged I would transport the body to a nearby community where there was a Catholic church. We talked to the priest and made arrangements, and we took the body of this deceased man from his little hut. We took it out to there. We had a funeral. He had a place to be buried. It was all done. And the priest, our pastor and I, we talked and we realized that this is a way that we are demonstrating how we as a community care for our own. So we can learn a lot from the majority world about community, about living in relationship, about hospitality, of caring for one another. And we can also live a lifestyle of proclamation evangelism. We buried this man as a part of our life. And how we live, it matters. It matters that we can live together and drop in for tea and just chat, that we attend weddings and funerals, and that during these evening tea times that we can chat and also listen to important questions about people's lives. And these are ones that come up impromptu. They don't come up as part of your planned events. It's the informal conversations that matter. And this lifestyle that we live of availability, of being open with one another, it's evident to all. It's evident who we love. It's evident what things that we love. It's evident how we act. In our second to last term, 2016, we moved to a new location. We were going to set up a team there. And very shortly after we arrived, there was a fire that swept through. It was the dry season or the end of the dry season. And it burned all the grass in our backyard, and it burned in the surrounding communities. And we were concerned about, okay, what about some of our neighbors who we didn't know yet that live, you know, just over there, just over the hill? And we asked around. We found out that this guy's house had burned down. Just a small house, grass roof, everything gone. And so we packed up extra clothes that we had, a couple of extra boxes that we had just emptied out. We had shown up, and we thought, well, why did we bring this here? Well, clearly God had other ideas. And so we brought that over there. And it turns out that this is the man that opposed us moving in and becoming his neighbor. He was dead set against it. He took the plants that marked the property boundary, and he moved them so that we had a little bit less. He had a little bit more. But we didn't know all this until after we showed up. But we developed a really good relationship with this man. He became our regular supplier of milk every morning, one liter. We were asked to help him when his brother got sick. We took him to the hospital. It's this relationship, this living in community, that really flowed out of our being. Oh, you don't need this one.
Right. So another thing that we make sure that we do, and I think it's really important as Christians, not just in an African context, but in any context, and that's that we bring a learner attitude. You know, we don't come and say, I know what you need. I know what I already know everything about you. That's not the right way. You have to come with humility and with a huge learner attitude. And one of the things it does in our context in Tanzania, that was kind of a beautiful thing, is I came in as somebody who didn't know anything about how to operate life there. You know, I had 15 women gather around the first time I was outside washing my laundry, and they were laughing their heads off, because look at this, like, adult lady who doesn't know how to wash laundry by hand. Or I would, you know, start to do something, and there, you know, we were constantly there for comedic relief. You know, the first time I walked through the village with a bucket on my head, and I'm spilling half of it, and everybody's, oh, yeah, we were there a lot of time for comedic relief. You know, but it takes humility. That can wear you down after a while. And one time I had just had it. I was tired of being laughed at. You know, I was trying really hard in the language, and I was being criticized heavily for the, we were getting ready for a village celebration. And my job was to cut cabbage. And so I was cutting cabbage, and I was getting all this criticism. No, you're doing it wrong. And I thought, you know what? I've had it. So I said, you know, maybe I can use a proverb. You know how we say in English, there's more than one way to skin a cat? So I don't really have cats. So I said, we have goats, right? So I said, well, you know, there is more than one way to skin a goat. And there was dead silence. And they looked at me and they go, no, there isn't. So, yeah, humility, lots of humility. And that learning doesn't just stop when you've got a hold of the language. We are constantly learning, right? We need to be constantly learning. Another value that we had is teamship. You know, this is based on the verse, they'll know we're Christians by our love. Really, when you're working for the gospel out in wherever, out in the bush, your team really becomes your family. You know, they're the ones that are there day in, day out. You're co-laboring together. They're there on vacation with you. They're there at Christmas, on the holidays, through the ups and the downs. And it's intense, but it's really, really quite a beautiful thing. Yeah, even when we moved to Kampala and we were more of part of an office staff, those people are still your community. And this last term, we had a chance to show that. I was out on a trip to northern Uganda and had taken our new financial officer with us up to visit some missionaries. And while we were on the road, she heard that her brother had been in a terrible motorcycle accident and had lost his leg. Well, as an office staff, what we did is we, you know, immediately everybody's on the phone, people are gathering money, and we paid for his surgery, first of all, but then eventually his prosthetic leg. And that's just how community works in Africa. And there's this concept, it's called Harambe, and it literally means pull together. And we need more of that here, I think. We need more being able to not just financially help, but to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Yeah. The other thing that we learned about team is that it's really, really easy to extend grace to the lost, right? They're lost. You know, if somebody does something that's you know, offensive to you, you forgive them very easily. It's harder to do that with our teammates, isn't it? It's harder to do that with Christians. Maybe there's somebody in church who annoys you and you think, you know, oh, they should know better. But we're actually called to love each other more, right? And so I think that, you know, how we speak about each other and how we speak about the church is really important. And that was something that we had to learn.
We had to learn how to pray a lot. Life is hard, and you have each other to go to. Sometimes you have your team members to go to, but we always had to go to the Father. I'm coming from a 9-to-5 work life. Many of you understand what that is. It took us far longer to make this adjustment to recognize that prayer is a part of our ministry. It's a part of our work. It took us quite a bit of time also to recognize that this spiritual separation that we have, you know, we pray before our meals, we pray in the mornings and maybe in the evenings, but we don't pray at work. We realize that separation is a false separation. you can and you should pray all the time at various intervals. Lord, help me with this person. Lord, help me to be patient. Lord, help me to learn the language. Lord, help. We also learned that you don't know the will of the Father if you don't talk to him. Man, I'm coming into a new job here in Victoria now, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to talk to my boss because I don't know what I'm doing. I have to talk to my supervisors quite a bit to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. And the same holds true in our Christian lives. I'm finding that I have to talk to God a lot or I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And prayer isn't just something that you tack on to your life and your ministry. It really needs to undergird everything. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that makes things happen. We were showing the Jesus film one time, and we've done this several times. How many of you have seen the Jesus film? It's about 3 hours long. Yeah, a few of you. Some of you might have shown it. And there's the point where Jesus Christ, he dies on the cross. And to most people in the world, to be killed at the end of your story is defeat. That's not a good way to end the story. We know that it goes on. We know that Christ, after 3 days, he rose from the dead, and that was a proclamation that he is God, that God, the Father, is displaying his power through him. Now, unfortunate incidents happen when you don't have good BC Hydro power. That's you're going to have power like 99.9% of the time. We had solar power, we had batteries that sometimes run out in unfortunate circumstances. And one of them was right after Jesus died. And that was going to be the end of the story. That was going to be the end of the movie. But one of the kids had seen this before. Like, we try to show this regularly. He says, wait, that's not the end. He comes back to life. And that is only through the power of God that this kid would know this story so well and that they would be able to repeat it. And they go on and give us a blow-by-blow, whatever happens to the rest of the movie. So prayer is ministry. And there's an example from Exodus where Joshua was fighting the Amalekites. And Moses was ordered to hold up his hands during the battle. And while he was holding his hands up, the Israelites were winning. As soon as he let his hands down, his shoulders were getting a little sore. Maybe he didn't do enough of the push-ups at the gym, but the battle was going poorly, and so Aaron and Hur were beside him, and they would hold up his hands. They eventually sat Moses down on a rock so that they could hold up his hands until the end of the day when the battle was won. And that is what we do for each other. We hold each other up in prayer. I pray for my wife. I pray for my team members. I pray for my kids. I pray for my pastor. Try to do that daily.
So, oops, I did it again. Stop handing that.
Sorry. We'll learn.
Ministry flows out of being. You can't give what you don't have away. So when you're thinking about communicating with people, you really have to be living that out yourself and to be constantly filling yourself up with, your spiritual disciplines, basically. And if you don't do that, you end up in burnout. And we see a lot of missionaries that end up in burnout. This was a huge part of my role in my last role in Uganda that I was playing. I was doing member care for people. And I think this is something we do here too, right? You get busy, and the first thing that goes, at least if you're like me, it's often those spiritual disciplines, right? I don't have time for that. I gotta get to whatever it is that I'm doing. I gotta, so you cut those things out. But the example that I learned to think of it like this. If I'm pruning a tree, right, because I want it to bear more fruit, I don't prune the roots, right? I prune the branches. If you prune the roots of your tree, it is not gonna go well. Right? You're going to kill it. So, and the same is true. So we learn to think of it as I'm busy and I don't have time not to pray. I don't have time not to do these spiritual disciplines, as opposed to the other way around, as opposed to cutting those things off. And I think there's no busier place in the world than North America. So I think that this is something that we can all think about and apply as well.
We also learned a really high value of the local church. And it is so hard to recognize when we recognize the value of that sometimes. Here, we can criticize our church so easily. Oh, the leadership, well, they're not taking care of my needs. Or over there, well, they're sure not very spiritual if they do such and such. But what we realize is that the church is going to stick around, it's going to stay around, it's going to have an ongoing presence long after we, as the Western missionaries, are gone. Our brothers and sisters in the local churches are the one who are picking up the banner, even now, as we speak, to take up the gospel to the hard-to-reach places, the really hard-to-reach places, to the ones that are lost, that are in these little remote communities that we don't even know about, or that we say, oh, there's not enough people in that little little river tributary over there in the forest in the Democratic Republic of Congo. There's not enough people there to make it worthwhile for us to send people. But the church looks at that and says, they need a pastor. They need somebody to guide them. So they are sending more and more people. This is the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And therefore, we speak with respect. And we don't cut them down for their faults, perceived or real. It means we cannot, this doesn't mean that we cannot encourage or correct in healthy self-reflection with them, but it means that we are careful to be building up the church, our brothers and sisters, and not tearing them down. So, right now we are wrapping up our time with AIM. We came back to Victoria on July the 30th. I'm going to claim jet lag for the next 2 years if I ever forget something. I've got a job. I am now a business analyst with BC Transit, and Leah is looking at what her next role in ministry is going to be like. Our kids are all going on their various paths. Our daughter Marie, she is just starting high school, just down the road here at Spectrum. Paul has started his first year of university. Very excited about that. He loves it. And Ryan is starting an apprenticeship program as an electrician. So it's great to see our families get launched, to see us in some ways regroup, as a lot of our friends and neighbors there, they have their kids growing older and they're like, fly, be free. We're like, come on, come back together. We're all in the same house together. It's kind of weird. But that's where we're at right now. I want to say thank you to this church. You have blessed us. You have sent us. You've supported us. You've sent us emails, cards, little gifts. And it has been such an honor and privilege to be sent by this group, this part of the body of Christ, to minister in Tanzania and Uganda. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, it's always awesome to hear from you guys. So encouraged by your ministry overseas. And I love how the application for a lot of that overseas missions work really applies to us as well in how we interact with the people in our own context. So grateful to have them with us. I'm going to invite you to stand as we close by just singing King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, 3 in 1. So let's sing this. In the darkness we were waiting without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the that you've joined us this morning as we've worshiped together. If you are new or if this is your first time here, we would love to connect with you. There's a little blue card in the chair in front of you that you can fill out, and we'd love to get back to you and just let you know how you can get connected in our community.
And if you missed the offering plate going by, because I forgot to announce it, we do have ways to give at the back as well. You can hit that up and give any way digitally you would like. We're so appreciative of, those of you who support us financially and make all of this possible. And if you would love prayer, if you want to continue this conversation, if there's something that has been weighing heavily on your heart, we'll have some people up at the front here. We would love to pray with you. If you want to grab someone you came with or the person next to you and just spend some time in prayer, this is the place to do that. We definitely encourage that. And as we go from this place, I just want to leave us with this benediction from the Book of Common Prayer, and it says this. May the Holy Spirit guide and strengthen you, that in all things you may do God's will in the service of the kingdom of Christ. Amen. We'll go in peace, and we'll see you next time.